Are you an accredited investor looking for a new opportunity to generate passive income and build the retirement of your dreams? Then elevate your investment game with Viking Capital, where wealth meets wisdom. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just starting out, Viking Capital can help guide you towards financial freedom through passive real estate investing. With strong and transparent underwriting, Viking identifies low-risk opportunities with the goal of preserving investor capital and maximizing long-term growth potential. And their accessible and responsive investor relations team will help you understand how each investment will impact your unique financial goals. With $800 million in assets acquired, more than $230 million in equity raised, and more than 5,000 units under management, Viking Capital is your path to early retirement. To learn about Viking Capital's latest investment opportunity, which is available for you right now, visit go.vikingcapllc.com/best. That's go.vikingcapllc.com/best to get started today. Did you know that within a decade, women will hold $30 trillion in investable assets? Yet somehow, only 19% of women reported feeling confident in selecting investments that align with their long-term goals. Our friends at InvestHer are out to change that. InvestHerCon is the number one premier conference for women in real estate, and it's happening June 2nd through the 4th in Austin, Texas. InvestHerCon is not just another real estate conference. It's a transformational experience focused on real estate investing, business strategies, and self-care tactics, all designed to help women take control of their financial futures. Gain the knowledge and skills you need to grow your portfolio and build a sustainable business, all while connecting with over 500 women who are playing at the same level. To learn more and to get your tickets, visit InvestHerCon.com today and use the code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket. That's InvestHer, HERCon.com, promo code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket. Quick disclaimer, the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are provided for informational purposes only and should not be construed as an offer to buy or sell any securities or to make or consider any investment or course of action. For more information, go to bestevershow.com.
You want to have that 30-day plan as far as the first thing is always lender required repairs, anything your insurance company wants you to do, and then anything that is required for your certificate of occupancy as listed by the code compliance department. Those are your three bosses, the lender, the city inspector, and your insurance company.
Welcome to the Best Ever Show, the world's longest running daily commercial real estate podcast. Our hosts interview commercial real estate experts every day to get you the best advice ever with none of the fluffy stuff.
Best ever listeners, welcome to the Best Real Estate Investing Advice Ever Show. I'm Slocum Reed, and today we are joined by Sandhya Seshadri. She is a returning guest to the podcast. She is returning for our due diligence mini series. We are focusing this series on the processes that we go through after we have a signed contract or an accepted LOI, we've gained access to a property that we are considering purchasing or that we're purchasing, and making sure that it meets what the broker has told us or what the seller has told us about the property, and ironing out the details of our business plan. Sandhya is joining us from Dallas, Texas. She's an apartment syndicator and an asset management coach. Her company is Engineered Capital, and they currently have just over 1,400 apartments in the Dallas-Fort Worth area under management. Sandhya, can you tell us a little bit more about your background, and then we'll dive into the due diligence conversation?
Thank you so much for having me back, Slocum. It's an honor to be here. My background, like most Asian geeks, I was an engineer, turned into a stock trader just because I got an MBA part-time and went full-time as a mom and stock trader, and then found real estate because I always wanted to have something to do with doing real estate and a way to defer my taxes, and found multifamily through a weekend program and realized large multifamily is the way to scale so that we have on-site management to take care of the lovely 40s. We talk about the tenants, toilets, trash, and termites, and I'm more of a high-level asset manager, which is very similar to the project management I used to do for my W-2 job back in the day. So thank you for having me.
Great to have you back, Sandhya. I enjoyed our last conversation as well. This conversation is going to be focused on your due diligence processes, particularly whether it is signed LOI or signed contract, wherever it is in the process that you gain access to the property and access to particular financials, lease agreements, vendor agreements, all of the documentation surrounding a property that you have some agreement with the seller that you are going to purchase. So why don't you walk us big picture through what your due diligence process looks like, Sandhya?
At the very big picture level, the first thing you want to know is the physical condition of the property. So as much as you can dig into that, that's important. So physical due diligence, financial due diligence, which is just auditing those financials as closely as you can. And then in the physical due diligence, I also include the environmental aspects of it, because a lot of things you may not know about, like a dry cleaner down the road or a gas station nearby, can affect it and require additional items. But a lot of this can also happen even when you underwrite the deal. But me being in the Dallas market where I live, I can drive to these properties. I can also have contractors drive the properties for me, just to look at basics like parking lots, the roof, things like that, for which the repairs could cost you quite a bit depending on your lender. So you really want to know how much your parking lot repair is going to cost you, any stairs, railings, how old is the property, the type of wiring they have, the type of electrical systems they have, when these things were replaced. So a lot of these are questions you could even ask the broker ahead of time. So then you can budget accordingly. Like if it's an old 60s property and has a chiller, you want to know when it was last replaced and how well it was serviced. You also want to look up little things or Yelp reviews of the property to see what people are complaining about. The air conditioning is never working all summer long. Okay, so then you know you might have some deferred maintenance. Drive around the property again. You find out so many little things about the physical condition of the property, even before you have access to the interiors. So a lot of times these exterior repairs, the siding, the gutters, little things like that, if you can drive by the property when it rains or anytime there's other weather conditions, that'll give you a lot of proof on that. But in terms of the actual formal physical due diligence, now I'm under contract, let's say, and I now have access to the property for a couple of days or 3 days, I actually hire Omni Assessments, which is a formal due diligence company located in the Dallas area. Brian Amos runs it. He's fantastic. He's partnered in one of my deals after doing the physical due diligence of one of our properties. He loved it so much. But I like to hire a neutral third party like that that gives us a phenomenal report. So imagine you have 250 doors of a property. They give me a matrix of what every unit looks like. And I can tell them ahead of time the things I want to know about each unit, like how bad is the flooring and subfloors. I have to repair the flooring before I can even put in new flooring. That gives me an estimate of just how much I'd have to spend on a typical interior and how many interiors are in bad condition versus mediocre versus really great condition. In terms of upgrades also, if you define your top of the line premium upgrade as granite countertops, stainless steel appliances, et cetera, and you call that as your A, from that, what does it take to get to that A or to that B minus level from the base? How many are truly classic units? How much are people getting it for the upgrades of such units to get to that A level? What's my rent premium? So that's where you do your competition study. And that feeds into your due diligence report. So now I study this report and I know, okay, it's going to cost me $15,000 to upgrade that interior and I can get a $300 rent bump. Or I only have to spend $5,000 and I can get a $150 rent bump. So that's where your business plan comes into play. From having looked at this matrix of every unit in that physical due diligence report of your interiors.
Sandhya, a couple of questions here. Working with a formal third-party due diligence company that's more than just a property inspector, can you tell us a little bit more comprehensively what it is that they are providing, but also give us an idea of how much that costs? Understanding, of course, all of these numbers are specific to the Dallas market. What all are they doing for you and how much is it that you're paying for it?
They basically spend all day for 2 or 3 days that we have access to the property and pretty much cover every physical system I might need in the property. Imagine it's your lender coming in there. Imagine it's your city inspector coming there and your insurance company coming there, and then every trade or contractor coming in there and telling you, these are the things you have to fix. This is what it's going to cost you, all the way up to my business plan, which is doing a premium upgrade. They can break down all of those costs for you. And in the process, they also give me vendors. They don't actually make any money off of those vendors, etc. It's more from just referrals. and being able to have reputable contractors in an area like that, so that when you have repairs and things to do, then you get a network. But what is the first thing he will do? He will have a whole roofing company. They'll all be up on the roofs and they'll be taking a ton of pictures. They'll be telling me every little detail up to, this is what you got to replace. This is how much it's going to cost you to replace. This is how old it is. This is the quality of the shingles. They were not installed correctly, or they were, or you might want to look around, especially if you have a flat roof, old kind of property, or air conditioners are installed on the roof. He'll be able to check those kind of things for me, as an example. On the parking lot repairs, he knows all about what the lender is going to be picky about, like Fannie Mae. You know they're going to ding you on any little parking lot repair. He's going to tell you, oh, that little tape-like thing, the Band-Aid fix they did in the middle, well, you're going to have to probably redo that. He's going to look at my parking lot structure. He's going to look at all the roof and everything else that I have. He's going to look at the covered parking spaces. He's going to look at the stairs. He's going to look at the railings. He's going to tell me every one of those little things, what it's going to cost me to do those repairs. Much better than if I just bring a couple of contractors and my property management company over. This is going to be a much more comprehensive report, and it's well worth the price. So I don't want to quote what his current prices are, depending on the size of your property, but it also depends on the size of your units. If it's all single apartment units versus condo style of units where there's stairs even within each unit, the pricing varies. But I would say you're anywhere from $50 to $100 per unit, depending again. He'll give you an estimate on that. So you just go to his website, fill out the form, theomnigroup.com, and they will come back to you with an estimate. And I know he's done a lot of deals in Texas and Oklahoma as far as travel. I don't know if he goes to other places. But this is what it gives me, is I have no surprises later. When my lender comes back, they come back and do those lender required repairs within 30 days, or my city inspector comes back and says, by the way, you needed to have these fire hydrants or fire extinguishers in every little unit, all of that. He knows it even by the city really well in my area. So he'll be able to point things out for me like that, his contractors. Of course, plumbers come. We scope the lines, especially the older the property. You want to be doing that. You want to see how much of clogs there are, because those repairs can cost you a lot. Again, if you read the reviews and people are complaining a lot about always there's some leak and clogs and bad stuff, those reviews, they give you a clue. So then you can tell them, go dig deeper for me here. Why do they have this problem? Where is it? Where does it look like they've done some kind of Band-Aid fix on some sewage lines that I'll probably have to replace? Or how old is that electrical panel? Right? They'll look at every electrical panel, every air conditioner or chiller. They'll be able to give me a comprehensive report on that. So all of that helps me really size up my CapEx cost and have no surprises. Insurance companies now require you on those balconies to have 4 inches gap between those railings, whereas a few years ago, it was 6 inches. So he'll know those kind of things as well. So again, it's for me to minimize surprises when it comes to CapEx and deferred maintenance.
Sanjay, if I were going to summarize what you're saying about physical due diligence, I would say that you hire the expert, you pay the premium for the premium quality that you're going to get from the inspections that they perform. They are bringing contractors and other vendors who can provide you with actual bids for work that needs to be performed. And you are relying on experts within physical due diligence to handle that physical due diligence. And you're doing it with a neutral third party who has no vested interest in the success of your business plan or whether or not your transaction goes through. So there's no emotion or ulterior motive or other incentive involved in their opinion of the property, because whether you buy it or not doesn't change their perspective, their opinion, or their compensation. That makes a lot of sense. And just to make sure we were coming back to this, let's call it a 100 unit property. Of course, the pricing varies in a lot of ways, but you said $50 to $100 a door. So you would expect with a 100 unit apartment complex that you'd be looking at between $5,000 and $10,000 to have them come in and do this over the course of 2 or 3 days, correct?
Yes, and it's a very wide margin I gave you only because it could all be huge condo units, and that's why. It's probably closer to the lower end is what I've paid in the past, but I don't want to quote his pricing now. But the other thing is even pest control, right? They're going to bring a termite inspector. So you'll know ahead of time if Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac is going to ding you on that, and they'll see all of that. I've had no surprises. I think that's the big one, because I've bought a lot of old properties, and I rarely have surprises afterwards. And they can look for specific things for me, right? Broker says, wash your dryer connection in every unit. Well, they'll go check that for me because I'll add that to my list. I'll say, make sure every unit actually has a working washer dry connection. Does it look like the plumbing is working? Does it look like the dryer is being vented and things like that? So you can pretty much customize that report. And I engage them to come back now once a year for me to do my unit walks, just so I know what's being reported versus what's my actual. And I can say in 12 months, this is what we've done the property. So again, comparing that matrix from acquisition to 12 months later or 24 months later has been absolutely priceless. And it's a lot less when they come back a second time and they're just doing unit interiors, because by then you've been at the property and you have a pretty good idea of a lot of the stuff that's going on. But when you have your own property management company doing some of your interiors for you, it's nice to have that unbiased view that comes back and says, this is what we saw. And it's not me finger pointing at my PM or vice versa.
That makes a lot of sense. Sanjay, let's transition to talking about financial due diligence. Give us an idea of what your financial due diligence processes look like.
So as part of the physical due diligence, we also do the lease audit. So I want to get into that a little bit as well, because that is also looking at your leases and looking to verify that there's some kind of employer verification information in there. Leases match what we were provided in our rent roll, making sure the tenant name matches what's on the rent roll. And in some way, how do they verify that, that it's not a nephew or somebody staying there and doing whatever else in that property? We ask those kinds of questions of them. And you want to make sure the rents, the other income sources, if people claim I'm getting this much money for Wi-Fi or cable contract, or we are billing the utilities this percentage, etc. Those are all things you can do by a lease audit and checking back with your income statement. You also want to see if renter's insurance is included and all of those little items that then add up to potential revenue for you, but also to save you as far as future liability in those things. And then in part of the physical due diligence also is looking out for those liabilities, like an insurance person walking there, whether the dog park is properly fenced out, the signage is proper, what is faded in there, what is necessary. In terms of financial due diligence, the big one is your term sheet from the lender, and it's based on accurate financials. So how do you know that if you see a lot of brand new leases happening in the last 30 days, and it's a rather big percentage, I would question that. What just happened? What was my occupancy 3 months ago versus now? What is your way? Because one of the things we see a lot of nowadays is fraudulent pay stubs being submitted. So what is your process to verify that these pay stubs are real? So the tenants you just brought a whole influx of tenants in the last 30 or 60 days, right? As you position this deal to sell, I'm a little concerned about that. So what is that process? So then I might plan for a higher economic vacancy in my underwriting that'll help me then budget for that. And also to more closely scrutinize the new leases and new residents to see if they can pay. So that's part of the audit. But on the lender and term sheet level, lower leverage is always preferred. And these days, they're all, I think, a little scared of bridge and floating rate bridge loans and predatory lenders. So I actually like to know who my lender is, if it's not Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac. If I'm going to use any other lender, I actually want to talk to another syndicator who's used that lender before. If my lender or lender broker is steering me towards a particular lender who's not a big name like Fannie or Freddie. And then within Fannie and Freddie, there's so many different knobs you can twist to get the exact loan product that you need. So you want to be talking to someone who is able to advise you correctly. Do you want more LTV? Do you want a better interest rate? Can you buy down the interest rate? What are some things you could do with the property in terms of affordable housing, let's say, or certain median incomes that'll again give you some additional qualification? And therefore, if 80% of your residents fall within a certain threshold, you could get a better loan product. So really dig as much as you can into all of that, depending on the area you're in, to figure out the loan product. You also want to work with a lender with whom either you have worked before or somebody else who's worked with them before has similar values like you. For example, one thing that's very important for all of us, I'm guessing, is can you close on the day that you say you're going to close if I get everything together? And can you get me the proceeds you're telling me today, or am I going to be surprised last minute? So whatever term sheet they give you, what is their percentage of being able to meet or beat that number? And what things must happen to meet or beat that number? Because you get under contract and it's still 60 days away for closing. One of the most important things they will scrutinize is that net rental income, that occupancy, that other income, your total collection, right? Those are very important numbers for lenders. So you want to make sure somewhere the seller understands that they have to maintain that. Otherwise, you might have some need of additional proceeds or something in the last minute, if the income falls or anything, like a bad debt comes really big in the last 30 days after you sign the contract, that could be a problem. So there's just so many different rabbit holes you could go under when it comes to financial due diligence. But at the big picture level, a lender who can meet or beat the term sheet they give you upon signing the contract versus 60 days later.
We'll get back to the show, but first, some sponsors I'm confident you'll find value in learning more about. If you're an investor like me, you're probably looking for one platform to manage the banking and finance needs of your entire portfolio. The good news is there is one. It's called Baselane, and it's the number one banking platform built for independent real estate investors that reduces busy work so you can focus on growing your business. With Baselane, you can earn up to a 4.19% annual percentage yield and 5% cash back on debit card spending with no monthly fees. With a simplified view of your cash flow and expenses, you can retire those tedious spreadsheets. You can also manage unlimited virtual accounts and cards, and even open separate accounts for each property or unit. Join more than 40,000 real estate investors who trust Baselane for their banking, property management, and bookkeeping. Head over to baselane.com/Joe and sign up today for a chance to win a $500 Amazon gift card. That's baselane.com/Joe.
Looking at financial due diligence from another perspective, Sanjo, the broker's offer memoranda will include some amount of financials and the financials that effectively they want you to base your LOI off of. So beyond financials provided by a broker in the offer phase, what is it that you are doing to analyze the financial performance of the property? I know this is a very similar question, or the answer that you just gave is very applicable to this, but what is it that you are looking for with regards to building out the financial picture of the property beyond what the broker provides in the OM?
I use a third-party property management company, and I actually have three different companies, and I'd like to hire a company who's already doing business ideally in that city and very close to my subject property. Just because your relationship with that city code compliance office is so important, or knowing where to go for evictions and how that court behaves, etc. So all the little nuances. And then if you're going to lose your maintenance guy, at least you can borrow the maintenance guy from the property down the street for a few hours. So that's how I select my PM. So it's very important that that PM gives you a budget. So whatever is your fancy business plan of increasing rents, et cetera, they already run a property there of similar vintage and similar class B, class C, whatever it is that you buy, so that they can really validate those numbers from a broker's OM to what is your reality. So those two sometimes don't always match, and you want to be looking at that. So you want to, for example, look at your rent roll, sort it by lease expiration date. Look realistically at my closing date is May 1st. So May 1st, the closest rent I can affect is a July rent. So anything from today through that July 1st date, I will have no effect on that rent. So leave it as it is. And then whatever is this rent bump you're hoping for is only going to take place after July. And keep in mind, whatever is your unit turn cycle time, et cetera, factor that in. So realistically, this extra $100, $200, from what day to what day am I going to get? Then you know, therefore, what is your total net rental income increase in your first 12 months? And that's the kind of due diligence you want from your property management company to say, I've looked at this T12. I know what kind of a property you have. I know this is what I'm seeing in my other property. And so their budget numbers should really feed into your underwriting model for all the controllable expenses, contract expense, services, R&M, your payroll, all of the basic expenses for operating a property. Those numbers come from them. You already hopefully have an insurance quote from a company that insures properties in that location because it's so location specific. Part of the physical due diligence that I forgot to mention that you could do ahead of even submitting an LOI is drive around the property and see if there's any creek nearby, because deals are in Dallas, so I'm not really by the ocean or a floodplain. But the fact that you have a creek or any source of water, et cetera, nearby can determine the number of buildings in a floodplain. And that is huge, because what your insurance company might decide versus what you think is only 3 buildings in a floodplain could actually be 15 buildings in the floodplain. And that's going to completely change your insurance number. So you want to be getting that clarified ahead of time. And then any loss claims made in the recent years is going to affect your insurance, of course. And then taxes. You want to make sure you have a tax assessor in places like Texas to give you how aggressive that particular county is going to be in your taxes. So Dallas County is very aggressive nowadays compared to Johnson County. And you need to be aware of that and get a realistic number for that in your underwriting as part of your financial due diligence process. So then I still want to talk about the rent bumps for a second, which is, how do you think you can get that rent bump? So you need to be able to do a competitor shopping, not based on CoStar data or what the broker gives you, but ideally physically shopping. So when I come to tour the property, I spend an extra couple of hours and I tour all the competition before my tour with the broker. That way I already know a lot of the information, and each property manager at those properties will be very glad to tell you what they love or what they dislike about the property. So they'll love to brag about their own property and compare it to your subject property. So you already have a lot of information. But of course, to scale, you can use VAs, you can use the same questionnaire, and you can have all that data available for you ahead of time. So you can actually impress the broker in your tour.
That's a lot of very helpful information with regards to projecting the future performance of the property and future expenses like insurance. With regards to better understanding the property as you are going to inherit it on the day of closing, what is the documentation beyond what the broker provides up front? What's the documentation that you focus on? And then what else do you do with regards to due diligence of the property's current performance?
If you're thinking of a day one takeover, you want to have a 30, 60, 90 day plan worked out with your PM as to what you are going to do. They may not have all their systems up and running those first few days. So you want to have petty cash available, how much you authorize them to spend money. The first thing you really want to do is you want to let every resident know that we have new management in town. You want to have those signs ready to go when they come in, and probably take care of work orders. So you want to make sure you have a little bit of extra maintenance staff on a temp basis in hand, in addition to the couple of guys that you probably have at that property. So depending on the size of your property, again, I'm looking at 100 doors. You want to have some extra hands on deck just for that maintenance piece, and also for the leasing staff, just to take care of resident inquiries. There are going to be more people coming to the door, seeing all this activity, etc. You want to have that 30-day plan as far as the first thing is always lender required repairs, anything your insurance company wants you to do, and then anything that is required for your certificate of occupancy as listed by the code compliance department. Those are your three bosses, the lender, the city inspector, and your insurance company. And then after that, it's of course your customer service of your existing residents. So you want to plan for those things. And then in terms of execution of the business plan in the first 30 days, I don't recommend spending a huge amount of money to do all the cosmetics just yet, because you want to make sure the systems actually work and there's no broken bones, if you will, before you start adding lipstick to a pig, as an expression, I would say. So I always focus on making sure systems are working, everything is in good condition. Based on our due diligence report, there's a few things we might still have to go and check. And then I'll take care of that, and I'll always be flush with cash. Again, having worked with a lot of older properties, if I have $2 million in my CapEx budget, I'm going to spend that very slowly. Another thing I don't like to do is spend, let's say, $10,000 on an interior upgrade and then turn it over to a brand new resident. The reason is you don't know how well they will treat the property. So I would rather upgrade a unit and get my existing resident to move there, because you've been a loyal, good paying customer. So I'd rather give you my nice new unit and then take your old unit, do some minor upgrades to it, make basic turn, and then lease it to somebody. So it's almost like you have to earn it to go to the fancy new unit.
Yeah, that makes sense. Talking about engaging your property managers to help you in the due diligence process. Again, a theme from your physical due diligence: make sure you're hiring the right expert in the first place, and then rely upon those experts to perform the due diligence within their expertise. Are you having your property manager perform a lease audit during your due diligence process?
Yes, always they are there. And they also bring their maintenance staff or their lead maintenance of that company to walk with our due diligence guys also, to have an idea what systems we should check, etc. So that it's a combined effort, but the report is neutral. So there's no bias one way or the other as to how much things are going to cost us. So they will also have full access to that report, because a lot of times we coordinate the unit turns or unit upgrades with them. In some cases, we do it on our own and take over the construction side. So the lease audit is extremely helpful. We usually get that report within 2 to 3 days when our PM does it, so that we can feedback to the broker again and say, here are some discrepancies we noted in the lease audit. Can you please go check these, etc.?
You mentioned with the physical inspections that there are certain components of each unit that you want to make sure are actually what the broker or the seller said. You referenced laundry hookups, dryer exhaust, things like that. Are there particular components of a lease agreement beyond the standard expiration, rent amount, pet fees, things like that? Are there other terms within a lease that you hone in on up front to figure out whether or not you're inheriting lease agreements that are going to be tougher for you to execute on?
I like to look at lease violations. So I want to say a dog size of a certain size. You can't just bring extra pets. Every time you bring in a new pet, I need to know certain breeds are not allowed. Those are all pretty standard things. And then the same thing with you can't be a hoarder and therefore harbor pests. You also can't change the locks so that when my pest control comes in or I'm coming in to change the filters, et cetera, you're not denying access to the unit because even though you're leasing it and you deserve your privacy, we will give you a 24-hour notice and you got to let us in. We'll let you know when that happens, et cetera. So we want to make sure we have access to those units. The other one is the insurance. Do they have renter's insurance? And then security deposit. If you're not doing security deposit, then what are you doing in its place? There's lease lock, rhino, et cetera kind of programs, and there's varying results depending on the credit score of your residents. And so what is in there in those agreements to cover that? And I would say for me, the biggest thing about these is, again, your fraudulent pay stubs. So I want something that says that when your employment changes, can you come back and tell us when that happens? Therefore, your qualification criteria to be able to lease this unit and afford to pay that rent if that changes. I need you to let us know. And that's not always in these agreements. So we'll have that as an addendum to ask them that come and report to us or anybody else moving into the unit because your unit has this capacity, so many adults, et cetera. So if you exceed that, we need to kind of know. If a new adult, like you have a new girlfriend, they're going to move in with you and live with you, we need to know that.
That makes a lot of sense. Sandy, it's time for us to wrap up this episode. I've got two questions left for you, but first I want to say that the overarching summary from this conversation about multifamily due diligence that I've heard is that I expect you to give the advice that our listeners should be willing to pay for the expertise of tried, true, professional, ideally third-party experts within each field of due diligence that they are going into, that you should get quality, expect to pay for that quality, and that will put you in a position where you have reporting that you know you, your lender, and your insurance company can rely upon. And to use your words, there will be no surprises because you will have paid for the ability to know everything. Now that I've put words in your mouth, Sandhya, and said what I expect your advice to be, what is your best ever due diligence advice?
Take the bias out of everything you do so that your numbers are valid, you can meet your projections, and ultimately make big bucks for your investors and yourself. Well begun is half done. Don't skip the $5K upfront here to pay for due diligence and then pay for it in worse shape with $200K, $300K kind of repairs or worse.
That makes a lot of sense. Last question, where can our listeners get in touch with you?
Engineer-capital.com is my website. Engineer Capital, the name of my company. aceoperators.com is my asset management coaching program. And of course, I post a lot on LinkedIn and Facebook.
Excellent. Those links are in the show notes. Sandhya, thank you. Best ever listeners, thank you as well for tuning in. If you've gained value from this high level due diligence conversation, please do subscribe to our show. Leave us a 5-star review and share this episode with a friend that you know we can add value to through our conversation today. Thank you and have a best ever day.
Thank you so much, Logan.
Hi, best ever listeners. Joe Fairless here again. And one last thing before you go, would you like to receive a short weekly email with proven tips from experienced investors, free tools and resources, and a roundup of the week's most relevant news and best ever content? Well, if so, join the community of nearly 15,000 commercial real estate passive and active investors who receive the best ever newsletter. Just go to bestevercre.com/access and you'll get the very next one. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And as always, thank you for listening and have a best ever day.